Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 11. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Just glorify God in this book. Honor of the power that this book has and the way it's changed our lives. And more importantly, though, the author, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, chastening doesn't help people who are not exercised thereby. I see gymnasiums, well, you know, the gyms and workout centers, you know, they're all over town. And those things don't help me a bit. Those places haven't made me lose 1 ounce of weight. Why? Because I'm not exercising in there. God is always chastening His children, but some folks just won't let it exercise them. That's just, the only people that profit from it are the ones that allow God to exercise them. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's why God does it. He doesn't want you to be turned out of the way. Amen. He wants you to be healed.
Amen.
He wants you to be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We pray for your help. Lord, for a holy hush to fall upon this place, God, for cell phones to be turned off, hearts and minds to be focused on Jesus for a few minutes. God, we certainly need you. We need to hear from you. We don't want to try to do this, Father, on our own. Please, Lord, allow me to be your vessel, Lord, your instrument here tonight. I yield myself unto thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Verse 15 says, looking diligently. Diligently means carefully, all the time, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is not what I'm preaching on tonight, but bitterness comes, like we said last week or week before last, bitterness comes when we resist the chastening of the Lord. When we don't let the Lord's chastening exercise us, we get bitter. We fight it. Lest there be any fornicator, in verse 16, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. In the heat of the moment, listen, bitterness will make you do stuff in the heat of the moment that you're going to regret for probably the rest of your life.
Yeah, amen.
You hear what I said? Bitterness and not obeying, not taking what the Lord... See, chastening is a gift from God. Chastening is a gift from God. Amen. Whether it be your parents chastening you in love or God chastening you as a child of God, it's a gift from God. Esau's birthright was a gift from God. But he despised it. He didn't care about it. He esteemed it of no value at all. Therefore, he lost it in the heat of a moment. He was hungry. He wanted some food. So in the heat of the moment, his flesh, his feelings, his impulses, he completely ignored what God wanted to give him, and he took what he wanted right then and there. And listen to me, it never went away.
Right.
The rest of his life. It never went away. Verse 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, but he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He wanted his dad to repent and turn from blessing Jacob to blessing him, but it was too late. For ye are not come, then verse 18. For you're not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, well, we have just shifted gears from chastening, but the principle is still the same. The afterward, okay, the afterward is what we're looking at in this case. So just bear with me. Let's continue to read Scripture here. Verse 22. But you're come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I want to preach to you tonight, beginning really verse 18 through the end of the chapter, on this thought, a better mountain, a better mountain. Chapter 12 is concluding the teaching on chastening really there with Esau, but the principle is the same, that there's a now and then there's a later, okay? There's a now and then there's an afterward. There's a now that doesn't seem like it's very joyous but grievous, but there's an afterward that brings forth fruit. As chapter 12 concludes that teaching and all the benefits of chastening, we get into an interesting discourse here in which two mountains are coming into view, if you will. Two mountains are being compared. The first mountain is in verse 18. Ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched to burn with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. That's Mount Sinai. You remember Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. This is a mountain in the wilderness where God gave the children of Israel through Moses the Ten Commandments. That's commonly known in the Bible. The Jews anyway know that as the law. Okay, the mountain of the law. Now the description is given here of the circumstances that surrounded that event in history. It says there in verse 18, it was a mountain that could be touched. It was a physical mountain. It wasn't a spiritual mountain or anything like that. It was literal. It was lit up in verse 18. With fire from heaven. It says here, it burned with fire, and blackness and darkness and tempest. So it was blackness, and there was a very loud, thunderous voice of God. It sounded like an enormous thunderstorm, dark and black and fire. I mean, you could just imagine, right? The scene there that God is painting for us. And there was verse 19, there was the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated the words should be not be spoken to them anymore. There was a trumpet and a loud voice, and the voice terrified the people. That was God's voice. Right. It was God's voice that terrified the people. They could not endure what God was commanding them. They could not endure the terrible, awesome power of that voice. It was overwhelming to them. Now stay with me. Look in verse 20. They could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. If anyone touched a mountain, they were sentenced to death automatically. I mean, it was instantaneous, no questions asked. Even the animals were not allowed to touch the mountain. Obviously, the animals don't know what's going on, but it was up to their owners to keep them away from the mountain. In other words, the mountain pictured death.
Ryan.
Death. Okay, now stay with me. It's Mount Sinai. We're going to get somewhere here. It was a terrible sight in verse 21. So terrible that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses was afraid. Moses himself was afraid to go into that cloud, into that darkness, I think so. I would be too. Anybody would be. That was Mount Sinai. That took place. Now hold your place here in Hebrews 12. We'll be right back. And turn over now to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you remember your Bible, Exodus chapter 20. What is Exodus chapter 20 to you? Anybody? The Ten Commandments, exactly. The very first time we see the Ten Commandments laid out for us in the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. But look over now at verse 18. So the verses 1 through 17 are the Ten Commandments. Verse 18 is after God gives them to them. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. This is what God said. When people saw that, they went like this. And they just went, I don't have enough room to go afar off. They went way away from that mountain. They said, I don't want no part of that. Verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. He said, they said, Moses, come here. Moses, come here. Moses, you tell us what he said, please. We can't hear him anymore. That's what they said. Moses, you talk to us. We can't hear that anymore. Verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to, what's it say? Prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not.
Amen.
Okay? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now, that's what happened over there. God had just given them the Ten Commandments, and it scared them literally to death. They were afraid. I mean, they ran the other direction. They were absolutely afraid. Their reaction was fear unto death. Literally, it was. Okay? The law of God brought great fear to their hearts. See, listen to me. The law of God said, you stay away from this mountain. You do not trespass this mountain. You do not touch this mountain. You do not trespass my commandments, or this is your outcome. Yeah. The power, the thundering, the lightning, the darkness, the trumpet, and it was all giving them the law. Yeah. See, the law signified to them, you do not trespass this, or you will die.
Yeah.
Okay, the death awaits you under the law. That's what that mountain pictured. This law and this all of this awesome power go hand in hand, and I can't be anywhere near it, or I'm going to die. Okay, now stay with me. Now, don't lose me. See, death awaits people under the law.
Yeah.
The reason people die is because of the law of God. Okay? It brings fear and trembling because it condemns them. The law condemns sinners because they cannot keep it.
Right.
Okay? The law condemns sinners. People knew, and listen, people used to know, not so much anymore, but those people right there at that foot of that mountain who were running the other direction, they knew God is not playing games.
Amen.
God is not playing games. He's serious about this law.
Yep.
Amen? See, that law, listen to me, the law condemned the sinner, listen, because they couldn't keep it. The law exposed their sin.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it did. The law of God exposes our sin, dearly beloved. The law of God demands obedience, or else. You understand? The law of God demands perfection, or else. I mean, there's great consequences. The law was never meant to save anyone. Okay? There was not salvation in that mountain. There was death and destruction and great fear because it was God's power and his demanding presence. This is my law. Keep it or else. And they knew, I don't have a chance.
Yep, right.
I don't have a chance. See, God demanded something they couldn't do. And they knew it. God demands it, and something we can't do still today. Not because he's unrighteous. If he would have just left it like that and left us in that condition, then he would be an unrighteous God. But the Bible tells us here in Exodus 20, Moses told them, God is doing this in verse 20 to prove you.
Yeah.
Now keep that in mind. That's going to be important here in a little while. He's not unrighteous. He's proving us how helpless we are. Because of our sin nature. The law proves our hearts are sinful. You understand? God wasn't afraid of that. I mean, Jesus wasn't afraid of that fire and that darkness. Moses was trembling and shaking. He went in, he knew. But see, every human being is a sinner. And they know that I cannot live up to God's awesome power. I can't live up to his demands. The law proved their helplessness, and literally they were scared to death. Now, go back to Hebrews. That's Mount Sinai. That's the first mountain. Listen to me. Go back to Hebrews 12 there while you're turning back. Pay attention for a second. The lost world, in its ignorance today, Bible ignorant people are just absolutely biblically ignorant. Even church people, the preachers don't ever preach the Bible, they don't ever teach the Bible, they don't ever teach doctrine. The people are just they're Bible illiterate. Okay? And if they ever have been literate, many times for the most part the spirit is to just leave the Bible, leave Christ, and go your own direction, right? But here's what happens. The lost world, in its ignorance and biblical apostasy, they go to Mount Sinai for deliverance.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute now. Let that sink in for a second. What happens when a lost person wants to get right with God? Yeah. I'm going to start doing what he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to start keeping his commandments.
Yeah.
Okay? Think about it now. They say, well, I've got to start being a better person. And all they're doing is they're approaching Mount Sinai where the law was given.
Yeah.
Now, but listen, but in reality, what that's doing is they're turning to good works to appease their own self-righteousness.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, it's not about pleasing and honoring God. It's about me making myself better, and then I can be, I can be like God.
Yeah.
I can be like God. I can, you know, that's how lost people think today. They're so completely ignorant of truth and salvation in the gospel. What they think, listen, you know, what does 9 out of 10 churches even preach for salvation? You've got to be a good person. You've got to do better. You've got to be right. Well, that law that we've seen in the Bible, it's not approachable like that. It's impossible. But see, we have made the law of God, humanly speaking, we've dumbed it down to where it's just something that I can approach now, something that I can achieve on my own, and that's the epitome of pride.
Yeah.
And see, what people saw that day at Mount Sinai was God's holiness. I don't even know how to talk about God's holiness. I can't. It's so far above us.
Right.
It's so far beyond our comprehension. But what God's holiness produces, listen, in my flesh, in my human state, what God's holiness produces is terrible fear.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I can't even come close.
Right. Yeah.
But the human pride is such a monster that law is what we think is our salvation. Lost people that don't understand, they think, well, that's what I've got to do. I've got to get closer to the mountain. Listen to me. The mountain is death.
Yeah, that's right.
The more a person works their way towards God, the closer they're getting to death.
Yeah.
In other words, the more a person works for their own righteousness, to earn their own righteousness, they become utterly and more self-righteous. And listen to me, those are the worst and the hardest people in the world to witness to. Because they're good. All they're doing is approaching that mountain and just about to touch that mountain. And when they do, their life is going to end and they're going to find out the reality. But see, that mountain of law is death. The Israelites knew that. We know that now. You see what I mean? But the world is ignorant. The world goes to Mount Sinai for salvation, and all that does is bring them closer and closer to death. And they're the hardest people to reach.
Right.
because they're the religious crowd. They're the ones, I've been a member of that church since I was 2 and all this other stuff. And that's because they're so self-righteous. But that's because they don't have an understanding of the truth.
Right.
So the world, listen, how about people who say, I'm atheist and all this other stuff. They turn to that same thing when they get in trouble. God, I don't know if you're real or not, and all that stuff. But God, if you'll just get me out of here, I promise you I'll live different.
Yeah.
I promise you I'll change. I promise you I'll get closer to your mountain.
Reach it, brother. Come on.
So Mount Sinai is death, but we've got a world around us running to it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's a big problem.
Yes, sir.
That's a big problem. Listen, that's where you and me come in.
Amen.
That's where you and me come in. See, you and me understand that's not the answer.
Right.
You can never obtain that righteousness. You can never attain to that incredible holiness. You're a fool to think you can. Somebody's lied to you. Your own. I went out soul winning after Brother Evan went at the campus today. I went out just knocking on some doors, and really I talked to some people who. I talked to this one young lady. I said, "Did you used to go to church?" She said, "Yeah, I survived it. I'm not doing it anymore." And of course, she's laughing like that was funny. Of course, there's people in the background laughing. I said, "Well, okay, so you don't believe there's a God?" I said. She said, "Well, I believe there's a higher being." And I looked at her. I said, "Yeah, and you're not it. And there's only one way to get there, and that's through Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And she shut the door. I don't know, but she had an idea that she was her own God, and you know, she was going to do her own thing, and that's where you and me come in. She doesn't care about that God, but when she gets in trouble, she's going to turn to Mount Sinai.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now understand something. Go back to Hebrews 12 there, verse 22. Now, God now turns his attention. He says now, verse 18, he says, "Ye are not come." Remember, Hebrews is written to Christians, okay? Saved, converted Jews, just like you and me, saved, converted Gentiles, but Christians, saved, born again. And he says, "You're not coming to that mount," in verse 22, "but you're coming to Mount Zion." Amen? The better mountain. Amen? Jesus is better. You're come to Mount Zion. We've come to a better mountain. We know better. Amen? We have come to Calvary. Glory to God. You see the comparison. By the way, Calvary is all Mount Zion, right? Jerusalem, Mount Zion, Calvary's Hill. It's right there up on Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. It's the city of God. Amen? On the sides of the north, right, Brother DeShazo? And we were talking about that on Saturday, fellowshipping after some soul winning. But that's the Mount Zion. Now Mount Sinai gendered bondage. Mount Sinai gendered death. And Mount Sinai fear. But now Mount Calvary. We've come to Mount Calvary. We know the difference now. We see the difference. We know how a person is born again. We know how we're saved through the blood of... See, we have felt...
Yeah,
listen to me. We felt and we knew the conviction of sin by God's law. Mount Sinai was not a for salvation. We finally, by God's grace, through God's word and his Holy Spirit convicting us, we saw Mount Sinai and we realized, I can never attain to that. And God said, "You're right. Turn around over here. There's Calvary." Amen.
Yeah.
That's for you.
Amen.
See, Mount Sinai was put in place for people to realize, I can't do that. It's impossible. And you're right, you can't. But there's Calvary, God says. There's the mountain you need to turn to. Mount Zion. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. We know better. See, the law of the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
Converting the soul.
Amen. Yeah.
You hear that? The law of Mount Sinai is perfect. God's not unrighteous. God didn't mess up. That mountain is perfect because that mountain makes me see I'm helpless.
Yeah.
And then God says, "You're right." And along comes the soul winner, right, Brother Evan? Along comes the street preacher and says, "You're right. You can't turn over here. There's Mount Sinai." There's Calvary. That's good right there, amen. That's worth shouting about. Praise God. There's a better mountain, amen. Mount Zion. They were turning, see, but these Jews, what was happening here in the book of Hebrews is the Jews who had been saved, they had already been to Mount Calvary. The blood of Christ, they'd already been saved, redeemed. They were turning back to Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
They were turning back to Mount Sinai. They were turning back. They were turning away from deliverance and liberty and salvation and grace back to fear and condemnation. Condemnation of sin because the law is impossible for me to keep. I'm condemned already. They're turning back to that. They're turning back to that because the pressure from their fellow countrymen. The pressure to just be circumcised and abide by the law and continue in bondage. See, God's grace is freedom.
Amen.
Liberty from now all of that fear and bondage. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of sound mind. See, the spirit of fear is when a person continues to try to honor God in their own strength.
Right.
In their own power. And instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, follow. Jesus said, follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. You see, there's a better mountain, amen, that we have turned to. And now we have to understand a little bit more about Mount Sinai, about Mount Zion. The Bible tells us here, listen, in verse 22, you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, in heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly, church of the firstborn. That's talking about heaven, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. See, I can only get to heaven through Mount Zion. I can only get to that great assembly. Can you imagine that general assembly? We talk about having general assembly in here. Remember in the other building, we used to have general assembly, and we'd sing a song, and then we'd dismiss into our classrooms. Can you imagine that general assembly? In heaven, amen. That general assembly going on right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's only achieved. You can only reach that through, amen, through Mount Zion, which are written in heaven to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus, the mediator, verse 24 of the new covenant, to the blood of the sprinkling, speaketh better things than that of Abel. God, listen, God came down to both of these mountains. God came down to both of these mountains. Remember, he came down to Sinai to prove our hearts. He came down to Calvary to save our souls.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's some good stuff right there, man. All right. Just a couple thoughts here. Zion is the only way to escape Sinai. Zion is the only way to escape. Salvation is only found at Zion, at Calvary. Amen. Romans 8, verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. What does that mean? God was weak? No, 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 no. Our flesh was weak. We could never keep that law. The law could not do it because of our weakness, our flesh. What the law could not do, God sent his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law couldn't do it, but God's only begotten Son can. See, amen. See, everyone who refuses and rejects Zion will face the eternal wrath of Sinai.
That's right.
There's two mountains. That's it.
That's right.
That's it. That's the only two mountains there are when it comes to eternity. You refuse and reject Mount Zion, you're going to face the eternal, everlasting condemnation and death of Mount Sinai.
Right.
Because we're all guilty before God.
Right.
That's right.
Boy, oh boy. Think about that. All the millions of people all over this world that are running to Sinai all the time.
Right.
The natives in the African, you know, remote villages, what do? They're trying to be good. They're trying to appease the God of whatever they think he is. All they're doing is running to Sinai. All they're doing is facing condemnation and getting closer and closer. Our goal as a missionary, as a soul winner, as a gospel preaching church, as born again believers, our need for the world is to see, hey, there's a better mountain, amen, and it's Mount Zion.
Amen.
It's Calvary.
That's right.
John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth."
Yeah.
Not shall abide. Abideth on him. Why? Because all he's doing is living under the shadow of Mount Sinai.
Right.
The wrath of God is abiding on him already. And if he doesn't believe on Mount Zion, if he doesn't turn to Mount Zion, and he doesn't turn unto that righteousness that is only through Jesus Christ, amen, the wrath of God is just going to abide on him for all eternity.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mount Zion is the only way to escape. The only way, might I add, the only way. Let me say that again. The only way to escape Mount Sinai.
Amen.
See, Sinai exposed sin, but Zion takes it away. Glory to God. Listen, y'all wake up. I don't know. This is good stuff. I'm having a good time. Sinai demands perfection, but Mount Zion makes us perfectly righteous in Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. See, Sinai demands obedience or else, but Zion gives us grace, gives us God's Spirit, so we can obey through His Spirit, His power.
Yeah.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
See, it's completely different. Very, there are two mountains, though.
Yeah.
God came down to both of them. But one, there's a very distinct reason that he came down to both of them.
Amen.
And we got to keep that straight. See, Zion is the only way to escape Sinai. Number two, Sinai opposes Zion. Mount Sinai, the law, opposes Mount Zion.
Right.
See, listen to me. Sinai leaves me in the wilderness. Where was Mount Sinai? It was in the wilderness. Where was Mount Zion? In the promised land. In Jerusalem. In Canaan. In the promised land. Mount Sinai leaves me way out there in the wilderness. Mount Zion is out there in the wilderness. If I continue to chase after Mount Sinai, my life is going to be lived in the wilderness.
Amen.
And that's not faith. That's pride. That's self-righteousness. I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. I'm going to fix things. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And listen, every bit of that is right, except the motive. Are you glorifying God? Or are you proving how righteous you are? Two very different mountains.
Yes, sir.
Two very different mountains. God's there in both of them. But one of them, he's condemning you. He's trying to help you see your sin. The other ones, he's helping you see the Savior.
Amen.
But you see, the world's running to the wrong mountain. Listen now, because it appeals to the flesh.
Yeah.
Because it appeals to our pride.
Right.
We think that those Israelites, they were a little bit smarter, but boy, today, listen, today there's a total ignorance of these two mountains.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
That boy you talked to today, I asked you, did you know the gospel? And you said something about growing up in a Lutheran church or something. Lutheran church is Sinai, guys.
Yeah.
It's law. It's doing good things. It's being good. It's religion. Religion is Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Sure, come on.
That's what is condemning the law of God. Our sin condemns us because we continue to try to achieve God's holiness in our own strength. But Sinai leaves me in doubts and fear. I never know, am I really ever going to get there? Am I ever going to be good enough? Am I ever going to be righteous enough? Maybe God will let me touch the mountain.
Come on, brother.
See, Sinai, listen to me. Sinai leaves me in doubts and fears. Zion leads me onto higher ground.
Amen.
See, I'm out there in the wilderness of doubts and fears and uncertainty and, oh, man, I'm miserable. I'm afraid. I don't know. Can I go to God? I can't go to God. I'm running away from God. Maybe I need to go back to God. I mean, I'm a mess.
Oh.
Hello.
Amen.
It's opposing to Zion. Says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Glory to God. But see, Sinai opposes that. It says, "You don't need that. You're good. You're a good person. You would go to church." Mount Sinai opposes Mount Zion. Now, see, Mount Sinai is located in the wilderness of wandering and faithlessness.
Yeah.
Zion is located in the promised land, faith and obedience.
Right.
These two mountains lead in opposite directions.
Right.
Are you listening to me? They lead in two very different, opposite, completely opposite directions. Before salvation, the law makes me think I can keep it. Before salvation, where most of the world is at today, the law makes me think, God says, how many times have you talked to somebody who says, week before last in Little Elm, that Indian lady, she said, I said, well, you know what sin is? Yes, sir. I said, okay, are you a sinner? Well, everybody's a sinner. I said, well, have you ever told a lie? She said, no. Yeah, I know. Well, let me tell you, that's the first one right there. I'm thinking, they're Hindu or something, and it's all works. It's all me and my goodness and all of my gods, whichever God I want. But see, before salvation, that I'm so full of myself and pride that I think I can keep that law.
Yeah.
I think I can live up to that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It's who we are. It's our self-righteous nature. It's the devil in us, in our flesh. See, what that does, though, see, remember I told you in Exodus 20, Moses said, God's here to prove you? What that does is when I see that law and I think, hey, I can do that, all that does is prove my heart.
Yeah.
It proves my pride.
Yeah.
You see? Now, it proves that I really have, and I have the audacity to think that I can be equal with God.
Yeah.
That's what a person who says, I've never sinned.
Right.
So you're equal with Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you see how full of, I mean, how can a person, but they're all over the world.
Yeah, that's right.
See, before salvation, it proves my heart. I think I can attain to that, and I don't need the other mountain. I'm just going to live up to this one. But see, even after salvation, it still opposes Mount Zion. I'm talking about these two. Mount Sinai opposes Mount Zion. Even after I get saved, remember now, those Jews and those Hebrews that we're talking about, they'd already come out of Egypt. They were already out of Egypt into the wilderness, right? Which is a picture of salvation, right? Out of Egypt, deliverance, crossing the Red Sea, baptism, wilderness, you're not supposed to stay there for long, and you're going to live by faith to get into the promised land.
Amen.
And then you stay away from Babylon, backsliding into Babylon all the time. Okay, but they were already out of Egypt. They were already across the Red Sea. So, spiritually speaking, they're already saved. Okay? In typology, they're already saved. These Jews in this chapter are already saved. They're being led back to bondage by those who weren't saved. Mount Sinai was calling them back.
Yeah, good.
It opposes Mount Zion. Think about the 12 spies. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they went, and Moses said, okay, we're going to send 12 spies, one from each tribe, into the promised land. You're going to 40 days, you're going to spy out the land.
Right.
Remember, they came back 40 days later. And they said, it's a great land. Oh, man, it's a wonderful land. Look at the size of this grape. And I mean, the grape was the size of I can't remember now. I think it was the size of a bowling ball or something. It was huge grape. But it was a wonderful land. But we can't do it. They're giants. We're grasshoppers. Their walls are huge. We're tiny. We can't do it. We can't do it. They're too much for us. We can't do it. These were people who had already come out of Egypt.
Right.
Right.
Hey, listen to me. They had already come out of Egypt. They had already come out across the Red Sea. They're now on their way to the Promised Land. They'd actually even been in the Promised Land for 40 days.
Yeah.
Right.
They had seen it. They had tasted it. They came back and said, we can't do it. Now see, that's Sinai.
Yeah.
That's, you understand, see, that's the law saying, that's my flesh saying, I can't do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. That's what, see, that's what they were saying. We can't do it this way. We're going to have to stay here and think of another plan.
Come on, pray.
We're going to have to come up with another way because God's way is not going to work. They're too big, we're too small. You see, that's the way the majority still think today. They still think today, Sinai is the answer. Let's work our way. Let's get better first. Let's get better first. We can't do what God says. We've got to get better first. We've got to get bigger first. We've got to work harder first. And every time you say that, you're walking away from Mount Zion over here to Mount Sinai.
Right. Yeah.
Back to your self-righteousness. Yeah. Back to your pride where you came out of.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. I'm not losing you, am I?
Yeah.
See, there was 10 spies that said we can't. Only 2 said we can.
Yeah. Right.
A vast majority is still that way today.
Yep.
Because Mount Sinai is in here way before Mount Zion is in here.
Right.
And Mount Sinai is saying, no, you come back over here and you do things your way. You live up to, and Jesus said, no, wait a minute. Faith is the victory.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You see, but Mount Sinai is calling you all the time.
Right.
Come back over here. Mm. Show how righteous you are. Show how good you are. See, Sinai always opposes Zion. Number 3, Sinai is going to judge the lost. Listen, but Zion is going to judge the saved. Look in verse 25 now, Hebrews 12. I'm hurrying. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who have refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. We're talking about saved people, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things, that cannot be shaken are the eternal souls.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yep. That cannot be shaken. They will remain. They cannot be removed. So, verse 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Notice, acceptably.
Amen.
There is an acceptable way to serve God.
Right.
Which means there is an unacceptable way.
Right.
Yeah, right. Sinai is unacceptable.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah, amen. See, our God is a consuming fire, verse 29. Our God, that's a reference to me, us Christians. Our God, that's not a verse written to lost people. Our God is a consuming fire. Not the fire of Sinai, amen, but the fire of the Bema seat, of judgment seat of Christ. Not the God of the law, not that judgment. Now that Sinai is over here, y'all. I'm trying to keep it straight. Sinai, yeah. Zion, okay? Sinai is over here. I was going to bring some... Anyway, I should have put a big sign here. Sinai and a big sign there. But Sinai is over here where Brittany is. No, it's just a coincidence. But Sinai is going to judge the lost. The lost people are going to be judged by Sinai. What do I mean by that? It means that God's going to say, you know what? You did not obtain to my righteousness. You could not possibly live up to my holiness. Therefore, you are condemned for all eternity, cast into the lake of fire. Sinai is going to judge the lost. But those of us who have come into a better mountain, Zion, we're going to be judged according to Zion.
Right.
What does that mean? Our faith.
Yeah, sure.
Our service.
Yep.
Do we serve God acceptably? We're saved now, but are we serving Him acceptably? Because if it's unacceptable, it's not going to be rewarded.
Right.
Wow. So see, remember, God's on both of these mountains, y'all. God's, by the way, He's everywhere. You know that, right? Now, right? He's everywhere. But look what it says in verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which were written in heaven, to God, the judge of what?
All.
All. Both mountains. Both mountains. Sinai is going to judge the lost, but Zion is going to judge me. and you if you're saved tonight.
Amen.
See, I cannot serve God acceptably if I'm doing it out of fear of the law.
Right.
I have to serve God by faith.
Amen.
This is what Hebrews is all about.
Yeah,
Hebrews is all about living by faith instead of law.
Right.
Living by the strength that God gives you in His grace, trusting God through Jesus Christ instead of trying to be righteous in your own strength. That's the whole theme of Hebrews. Jesus is better.
Amen.
Therefore, this mountain is better.
Amen. That's right.
That mountain is evil. No, it's not evil. It's God.
Right.
But it's there for one reason, to push you to that mountain.
Right.
And see, Sinai is going to judge the lost. Zion is going to judge you and me, though. Do you do what you do for God out of gratitude for Zion? Now, before you say, yeah, of course I do, preacher. Listen, we do. And I mean, we absolutely want to most days. But a lot of times, I mean, come on. Again, it's our tendency just to kind of drift.
Yeah.
Drift back to Sinai. And we do what we do because I better be a better person, or I'm going to get in trouble, or you know, things that we think.
Yeah.
But over here we do, Lord, thank you for saving me.
Amen.
See, the closer I get to the better mountain, the closer I'm getting to Jesus.
Amen.
And the more I'm going to be aware of His salvation, His grace, filled with His Spirit, serving Him out of gratitude. Hey, listen, glorifying Him.
Amen.
Glorifying Him. God did not give us Mount Sinai to glorify Himself. God gave us Mount Zion to glorify Himself. Mount Sinai is just to push us over there.
That's right.
See, but every one of us, no matter where, which mountain we're at, is going to face the judgment of God.
Amen.
Finally, I close with this. Mount Zion is the only escape from Mount Sinai. I said that. Mount Sinai, though, opposes Mount Zion.
Yeah.
It always wants to pull people away. But Sinai is going to judge the lost. Zion is going to judge the saved. And finally, Mount Zion does not remove reverence and godly fear. Okay? Now look in verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have, what's that word?
Right.
Grace. Zion is grace, y'all.
Right.
Sinai is law. Zion is Calvary.
Amen.
Sinai is self-righteous pride. Zion is Jesus. Sinai Amen. Is me and my pride.
Yeah.
See, grace is given to those of us who have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
Okay? But look what it says. It says, we let us have grace. Now, wait a minute. I've already got grace. Wait a minute. You've got to do what you do in that grace,
right.
Through that grace.
Right.
You've got to do what you do because of that grace. You've got to serve God. That's the acceptable way. It doesn't, but listen to what it says. With reverence and godly fear. Grace causes me to serve God acceptably. Listen now. But I still have reverence.
Amen.
Okay, here. Mount Sinai is over here, and yes, I've been delivered from this condemnation. I've been delivered from all of this because God showed me Zion. A soul winner, a preacher, somebody showed me Zion is the answer. Zion's the better mountain. Come away from Sinai. Come to salvation and grace of God. Okay, now over here though, I can't just okay. I don't care about that God anymore. He's not holy anymore. He's not righteous anymore. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live my life. God has never said, okay, now that you're saved, you have a license to live your own way. That's not what Zion is all about. That's not what Calvary is all about. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. All that does is push you back to your self-righteous pride. Listen, Mount Zion is for me to live and operate and serve God by His grace, in His grace, through His grace. And that grace, listen to me, that grace will change my heart. And then I'm going to love and revere God far more than I did over there.
That's right.
See, the law doesn't change your heart.
Yeah.
This mountain did not change anybody's heart. But when I came over here, amen, and I knelt before the cross of Calvary, and I gave Christ my heart. See, and that grace came in through Christ.
Amen.
And see, that changed my heart.
Amen.
And I'm not gonna treat Zion like it's some kind of game. Because now my heart's changed. See, you've got a lot of people running around today saying, well, we don't live under law. We live under grace. We don't live under the bondage. We live under grace. We're free, free, free. Wait a minute. This verse right here says that grace is not going to make me live free, 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 like a bird out of a cage. Yep. I'm still going to be very reverent and love and fear God.
Yep. Amen.
Because not because I'm afraid of Him like I was over there, but because He's changed my heart. Amen. And His grace has now made me a different person.
Amen.
You see the difference? Zion doesn't take away the godly fear. It just makes it a heart matter instead of a flesh matter.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good right there. Mark that down. I'm going to buy this CD, I think. Man, glory to God. That's good right there.
Amen.
This is so much better of a mountain.
Amen.
Mount Zion. Amen. Go back to Exodus 24, and I'm done. Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Now this is only four chapters after the Ten Commandments. Remember how scared they were? Exodus 24, verse 7. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, Moses, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Now wait a minute. That doesn't sound like the same people a few chapters ago. They saw God and they saw His power and they saw His terrible law and they saw His presence and they ran because they knew they couldn't. Now they're saying everything that God says we will do, we'll do it. Now, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this: that mountain didn't change their heart.
Right.
They ran away from it for a little while, but now they're back to their self-righteousness. Look what they said. All that the Lord said we will do, we will do it and be obedient. Well, what they're saying is, we can do this. That's what the world says.
Right.
A few chapters ago, they were afraid of God.
Right. Yeah.
Now they think they can do it alone.
No.
Now they're back to their self-righteousness. Because, listen to me, because Zion is the only way. You've got to stay over here.
That's right.
You've got to stay over here. The law and trying to keep God's law and your own strength, it will cause you to be self-righteous even after you get saved.
Yeah.
I've come to Mount Zion, the better mountain.
Yeah.
I still revere, I still love and fear and honor God. But I know I cannot keep His law. I must stay right here.
Amen.
I need Christ. I need His grace. I need His word. I need His strength. I need Him.
Amen.
His presence. His power. I must be filled with His Spirit. I can't go over there and keep the law, obey it like they said. I can't do that. I've got to stay here.
Yeah.
And folks, listen to me. That's the battle for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you've come to Zion for salvation, glory to God, you're saved. But listen to me. The battle is, Sinai keeps calling your name.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to stay here.
Amen.
The minute you start thinking, I can do this. I can keep everything He says. I mean, you know, after all, I've been saved for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're very far away from Mount Zion.
Right.
But you know how long I've been saved? Man, come on. I've read that Bible two or three times. Okay. How close are you to Zion? How close are you to the cross? How close are you to the mountain that made a difference? As soon as you start trusting yourself again, you better get on your face. And you better crawl back to Mount Zion. We all, listen, that's, you know what revival is? Getting back to Mount Zion.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,